Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
So, my friends, please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness, we thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And so, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? If you brought your Bibles, please turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 2 through 10. And so I've entitled this evening's message. Now, let's go to the board here. Let's go here right now. I've entitled this evening's message, "We Are Complete in Christ." Once again, we are complete in Christ. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 2. And we're going to read together verses 2 through 10. And here we go. Verse 2, "That the hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Verse 4, "Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." Wow, look at this. Verse 6, "And you have therefore received Christ the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." Verse 8, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the," what? "Tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." Did you catch that? Verse 9 and 10, "For in him dwells," look at this, "in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him." This is where I got the message. "You are complete in him who is" what? "The head of all principality and power." Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I need you to catch that. We are complete in him. Thank you, Lord. See, God is good, and he's worthy to be praised. And this is what this topic is all about, is that we would have the knowledge and the understanding. You see, my friends, Paul wanted those he had who had not been able to visit to know that he was interested in them and was praying diligently for them. He simply prayed that the Colossians would be encouraged and that they would be knit together by strong ties of love. These two characteristics, it would help them resist false teaching. Oh, that's right. Paul also wanted these churches to have full confidence. Why? Because they have complete understanding of God's secret plan, which is Christ himself. Christ is the secret, yet he is a secret revealed to those who believe. Can I get an amen? And so this complete understanding, saints of God, obtained through a personal relationship with Christ Jesus himself, assures believers of the truth and helps them recognize and avoid heresy. Everything and anything that anyone wanted to know about God and his purposes in the world is answered in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, my friends, the secret is revealed because it is in Christ whom all the things that are hidden, the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. True wisdom is found only through Christ Jesus. True knowledge is found in Christ. Knowledge is often described as good judgment, wisdom, and application of what that is good, and the judgment form of good actions. But, my friends, the false teachers claim to have a higher knowledge than what ordinary believers possessed. And against this, Paul argued that all wisdom and knowledge were in Christ, and that Christ's treasures were accessible to every believer. Hidden does not mean concealed, but rather that they were laid up or stored away to be made available to those who desire a relationship with Christ. Let me just say this. My question to you, my friends that are watching this evening, do you desire the hidden things of Christ? Well, they're available through the scriptures. You see, you have to understand that before we came into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says we were alienated. In other words, we had no mind to be saved. We didn't have a heart to repent. We didn't care about the spiritual things of God. We were out in the world doing our own thing. We were out totally involved in the culture of the world until Jesus came. Hallelujah. And he had to intersect our life. And thank God that he intervened, because what he's doing now in our lives is a wonderful thing. He is filling us with knowledge and wisdom and understanding. He is building us up in our most holy faith. God delivered us from darkness into his marvelous light. God has done the supernatural in our lives. God has translated us from darkness to his Son, who is the light of the world. And Christ now is living in us, and we are complete in Christ. Oh, that's right. Everything that we could ever want, as we continue to walk in the ways of the Lord, he has equipped the church. He has equipped you and I. Oh, that's right. Many times that when we get afflicted, when depression comes, when all these things, the fiery darts of the devil, God is there to lift up a standard. God is there to watch over us. God is there to protect us. God is there to shield us from any harm or danger that would come. God is now in control of our lives. He is our protector. He is our deliverer. He is the one that will lift us up. He's the one that will put a shield and buckler about us. The Bible says that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that would rise up against us, God will condemn. Can I get amen? I'm telling you, God is for us, not against us. God, hallelujah, in his foreknowledge, already knew the situation we would be in 2021. And so I'm here to let you know that we are complete in Christ, that everything that God has given us is more than enough. Hallelujah, because we serve the God that's more than enough. Can I get an amen in the house? Come on, give God praise and glory. Hallelujah. And so, my friends, certainly these words greatly comforted the Colossian believers, who did not have to look any farther for wisdom and knowledge to their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The believers already possessed all wisdom and knowledge. Can I get amen? And yet they had a long way to attain maturity and complete understanding. Praise God. And so, my friends, let's go to our verse of scripture here. Let's go now. Let's go back here now. Let's look at 2. That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both the Father and Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, which we just covered right now. So let's go now to verse 4. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with what? Persuasive words. And there are many organizations out there with persuasive words. But my friends, I'm here to let you know that those of you that are a true child of God, you will hear his voice. The Bible says, my sheep follow me. And since we've been saved, we've been born again, we've been delivered, hallelujah, from hell to heaven. Can I get an amen? That's right. God has delivered us. We no longer have to go to that horrible place. Why? Because God gave us the opportunity to repent, to be washed in the blood, to be filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. Can I get an amen? And so, saints, the believers in Colossae already knew. What did they know? What they needed to know to be saved. They already knew the one they needed to know to have eternal life, but they needed to grow to maturity in the faith that they had received. Can I get an amen? That way, no one would be able to deceive them with persuasive arguments. You see, my friends, the false teachers did a good job of making their teaching sound plausible and using persuasive tactics to cause the believers to question their faith. And when believers are fully committed to the truth in Jesus, they will not be easily what? Deluded. Can I get an amen? Listen, just a short little story. My brother and his friend, they went to a local church. I'm not going to say the name, but they went to a church and they were there to see an evangelist. And they saw a mockery of the Lord Jesus Christ. The senior pastor went up there and said, "This is the year 2017. So I need you all to write a check for $2,017. And they looked around and saw all these people pulling out their checkbooks. That is not in the Word of God. That is called fleecing the flock. You see, when you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will understand what is truth and what's a lie. You'll know when there's shenanigans being played. And one of the things that they noticed is the automobiles that these people were driving around. My goodness. Listen, my friends, we're not going to take one iota with us when we go to heaven. Everything is going to be left behind. The Bible says it's what you do for Christ. That's what will last. Those who labor in love, those who teach the word, those who serve, those who feed the hungry, that go and pray for those in prisons and things in that nature. That's right. To watch people grow and be baptized and be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what God, hallelujah, has called us to do. Hallelujah. He didn't call us to be wealthy. He didn't call us to be, these shenanigan leaders. That's right. He has called us to be steadfast, to walk in a spirit of humility, to walk in God's grace. That's right. To allow God to use us so that we can lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. We can speak a word into their life and watch them be delivered. That's right. We can speak salvation and watch God bring them in to His great and wonderful salvation. Hallelujah. Let's go now to verse 5. Let's go here. "For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your order and the steadfastness of," what? Christ. Praise God. Praise God. That's right. That's right. The steadfastness in faith in Christ. Praise God. You see, saints, Paul couldn't go to Colossae due to his imprisonment, but his heart was with them. And he knew that they were living as they should and had strong faith in Christ. These two characteristics, saints of God, caused Paul to be happy, for they meant that the Colossians had not succumbed to the false teaching. They were a unified body, steadfast in their faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Praise God. And so, let's go now to verse 6 in Colossians chapter 2. And we're breaking down verses 2 through 10. This is verse 6. "As you have therefore received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him." Did you catch that? We are to walk in His ways. We are to be like Him. Can I get an amen? Praise God. You see, saints, the Colossians had not merely accepted the doctrines of Christ. They had accepted Christ Himself as Lord. The verb accepted means more than the moment a person asks Christ into his or her heart. Paul most likely used the word taken from Judaism to describe the transmitting and safeguarding of traditions and teachings from one person or to a generation to another. Thus, when Paul reminded the Colossians of when they received Christ, he was reminding them of their receiving the proclamation and teaching and their confession of faith, their baptism, and their new status as members of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, my friends, because Christ dwells within all believers through the Holy Spirit, they should live in obedience to Him. The past, even of receiving Christ, should be a present reality in the believers' daily lives. Look what it says right here, my friends, in the book of Ephesians. Let's go there. Look at this. In Ephesians 4, 1 through 7, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling," as we just read in Colossians. Look at this. "In which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, meaning patience, bearing with one another in love. You know, there's a lot of people, let me just pause there. There's a lot of people that do not have patience. Oh, that's right. And listen, God is pleading with his church to have patience with one another. That's right. Don't cast them out just because maybe they're not there where you anticipate them to be. Allow God to work in their lives. Allow God to work out those issues in their life. That's right. We always want to throw them out with the bathwater, but no, hold on. Be patient with them. Can I get an amen? Listen, one day God is going to quicken them and they truly will get it. And then you'll understand the grace of God, the wisdom of God, and the mercy of God. Let's go back to the word. Look at this. Bearing with one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It's all about being in the peace of God. Look at this. There is one body and one Spirit. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith. In one baptism, praise God, and one God, Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. You see, our salvation is a gift. God didn't have to save you and I, but he chose to before the foundation of the world. God already knew who would come to him. God already knew who would surrender their lives. And God already knew that once the heart was changed by God's grace and mercy, we would fall in love with him. Oh, that's right. I'm in love with Jesus. Despite of myself, despite of my shortcomings, despite of this flesh that sometimes wants to be ruly. Oh, yes. God still chose to love me. God still chose to save me. God still chose to save you. Oh, that's right. And despite of yourself, despite of me, he will have his total way with our lives while we're here on this earth. That's right. His will cannot be thwarted. When he made a solid choice in his mind, it is a done deal. We will walk in his ways. We will glorify him. We will magnify him. We will build up one another in Christ Jesus. Why? Because he shed his love upon our hearts and he has caused us to become born again. He has caused us to be alive now. We are spiritually alive, hallelujah, unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me just say this, my friends, I'm loving every moment of it. That's right. You know what I love about God? I get to share Christ with many and I'm watching them grow in the grace. I'm watching them transform from darkness to light. Hallelujah. Some of you are not the same you were a year ago. You have grown in your faith. You have grown, hallelujah, in the Word of God and the knowledge of God. So, my friends, I want to encourage you to continue. Continue what God has started. Because the Bible says, what God has started in you, he will complete it. Can I get an amen? Now, let's go back to the Word of God. Let's go to verse 7. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with what? Thanksgiving. Praise God. Praise God. Thanksgiving. You see, my friends, Paul used several metaphors in these verses. Each metaphor has a specific and profound point for Christian living. First, the Colossians were to let their roots grow down deep into Christ. And just as plants draw nourishment from the soil through their roots, so the believers should draw up nourishment from Christ. The more they would draw strength from Christ, the less they would be fooled by those who falsely claim to have life's answers. Can I get an amen? Thank you, Jesus. Look what it says right here in the book of Ephesians. Let's go there real quickly. Look at Ephesians 3:17 through 19. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted, here it is, grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length. Look at that. Woo! Hallelujah. And the depth and height to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Wow, my friends. Wow. That passes knowledge that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, God is good. And secondly, the Colossians were to grow in faith. Like a plant, they were rooted once and for all. But they had to grow continuously. Or like a building, they would have a solid foundation, but had to keep on building with solid materials in order to be strong. Praise God. Praise God. Look what it says in 2 Peter here. Let's go here real quick. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But grow. Notice there's always an encouragement to grow. Because, my friends, we're never going to obtain everything. We are striving for perfection, but we will never be perfect. Can I get an amen? And thirdly, saints of God, the Colossians were to be strong and vigorous in truth. And this too is continuous action and ongoing process. The truth which these Colossian believers had been taught should be a source of abundant thanksgiving. You see, my friends, true understanding of what Christ has done on behalf of believers can lead to no other response than gratefulness. Are you thankful? Are you grateful? I am. I hope you are too. Look what Ephesians says right here. Finally, my brethren, Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, not our might, His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Oh, Slewfoot always, always, always is there to try to thwart us from the plan of God. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of this what? Of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. You see, these are places, my friends, that you and I cannot see with our natural eye. But Paul said the spiritual realm is so vast, it's beyond the Milky Way. It's beyond the universe. That's right. You got to remember, there's a third heaven, a second heaven, and then Paul describes us, this realm that we live in, under the atmosphere, the first heaven. You know, the clouds, we could only get so high. But once we pass the atmosphere, now we're into the universe, the galaxies, where the solar systems are. Okay, that is the second heaven. But God lives beyond that. My goodness, you know how many trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of light years that the Hubble telescope can see until it cannot see no more. And yet, that is just the beginning of the universe, of the second heaven. But the Bible says that God lives in the third heaven, even beyond that. This is how vast God is. This is how vast and how powerful and majestic God is. But yet, us humans, we're pea brains, man. We have pea brains. That's right. And we don't get it sometimes. We don't get it that a holy God that's so vast came to save us from our wickedness. My goodness, my goodness. Let's move on to verse 8 here in the Word of God. Look at this. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Did you catch that? Well, that's right. Like I just mentioned earlier, man, there's a lot of shenanigans going on. Oh, yeah. Listen, let me just say this, my friends. Let me just say this. There are true prophets of God that truly hear from God, and they will speak, and those things will come to pass. And then there are the counterfeits. And you'll know a counterfeit. Why? Because they don't have the mind of salvation. Everything ties into salvation. Meaning, if anyone is ministering, say in a crusade or anything like that, in an outreach, and there's a ton of people, one of the things that should be on the forefront is repentance. Because we cannot receive anything unless we repent. And once there is repentance, then God can wash you in His blood. And once the blood comes and washes away our sins, you know that old song, What could wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So once the sins have been dealt with, now God can come in with His Holy Spirit and live inside our being. Why? Because the sin has been done away with. Even though this flesh has sin, but our soul and spirit, where God dwells, has all been washed in the blood. So now He houses Himself in a holy vessel. Whoa! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you so blessed that He chose you to have a holy vessel within this body of flesh that's always up to no good? Praise God. Only God can do something like that. Only He can, through the power and through His miraculous power and His love for His created beings. That's right. And so, my friends, Paul strongly warned about the heresies and how they affect those who believed it. They would be led astray, according to Paul. The heresy amounted to nothing more than empty philosophy and high-sounding nonsense. The word translated philosophy occurs only here in the New Testament. So this may have been a significant feature of heresy. In Greek, the word philosophy means love of wisdom. Oh, that's right, love of wisdom. Let's look at this for a moment in the book of Galatians. Look at this. Galatians 1, 14 through 15. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, this is Paul, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through His grace. What did Paul mean by that? That means all that he had acquired, the knowledge, the accolades. He was the Hebrew of Hebrews. He was from the line of Benjamin. He was taught by Gamaliel, one of these extraordinary rabbis. Bible says he counted that all as dung. And the King James Version dung, all it means is poo-poo. That's what it means. He counted it all as poo-poo, so that he would obtain Christ. That's right. Listen, some of you are well-educated. You probably graduated. You have maybe some of you have all these awards, or maybe you were an honor student, you know, a valedictorian. I don't know. But it all means nothing in the kingdom of God. That's right. You see, God is looking for the lowly ones. He's looking for, like what Bishop preached last week, unqualified people. That's right. And God wants to use you and I. That's right. Paul was a gifted philosopher, so he was not condemning education or the study of philosophy. Instead, he was condemning false philosophy, the kind that is deceptive because it keeps people from seeing the truth. Oh, yes, that's right. Paul was so disparaging toward the heresy because it came from human thinking, from the evil powers of this world. And no man-made religion can lead to the truth, for truth can be found only through Christ Jesus. True philosophy will focus on Jesus Christ. It will not put Christ in a lower position, nor will it focus on human endeavor. Can I get an amen? Let's look at the Word of God here in 1 Timothy. Oh, Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen and amen. Let me just say this, my friends. Unfortunately, nowadays, if you send your child to college, a secular college, they will reprogram your child. Oh, that's right. There are some ungodly professors who are atheists that will dispel anything that they've been taught and turn their lies into a truth that is not a truth. Oh, that's right. I've seen some wonderful families where the parents were sold out for Christ. They sent their child to college and come back atheists. Oh, that's right. Why? Because of this world that we live in. We live in a world that has principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. and they are planted by the enemy. To what? To bring you false religion and false philosophy, and that they would rather believe a lie than the truth. Let's move on. Verse 9, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You catch that, my friends? Did you catch that? Praise God. Praise God. My friends, Saints Paul asserted Christ's divine nature, and Christ designates a real intimate relationship rather than a mystical relationship. God's saving action happens in the person of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Saints, the fullness of God refers to the divine attributes. God's nature and person are in Christ's human body. The false teaching said that Christ could not have been both man and God, but Paul clearly stated that this was indeed the case. Hallelujah. Jesus is 100% God and 100% man. Saints, Paul made two significant points in this sentence. We're going to look at these points. Look at number one. Let's go here. Number one, Christ was not another deity along with God. Instead, God's fullness was dwelling uniquely and supremely in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. And number two, let's look at number two. Christ was not less than God because he was God. Can I get an amen in the house? He was God. That's right. Look what it says right here. I want you to catch this. It's right here in the book of John. Let's go to the book of John right here. Look at this. And the Word, who's the Word? Jesus. Jesus, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Are you catching this, saints of God? That's right. Don't let some false religion try to deter you. Look at this. Verse 15. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is what? Preferred before me, for he was what? Before me. Look at this in verse 16 through 18. And of his fullness, say that with me at home. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, and he has declared him. Praise God. Praise God. Listen, we're complete in him. We're complete in the Lord. And that's why we close with this last verse. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Can I get an amen in the house? Those of you at home, man, high five everyone, because we are complete in him, saints. Not only does all the fullness of the deity dwell in Christ, but all believers have been given fullness, been made complete through their union with Christ. Can I get an amen? Thank you, Jesus. The Colossians lacked nothing outside of Christ in him, and they had everything they needed for salvation and right living. But what does the completeness mean? It means that there is nothing lacking in a believer's relationship with God. Can I get an amen? That's right. Let's look at what 2 Timothy says right here. Look at this. All scripture. Say that with me at home. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine. Praise God. Praise God. For reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Complete. It's all in the Word. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. Praise God. Look what it says right here in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things. Say that with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Praise God. Praise God. Saints, Christ is not just one of many intermediaries or angels who must be worshipped, as the heresy maintained. Instead, he is the Lord over every ruler and every authority in the entire universe, because Christ is the head and is superior to than any angel or archangel. It would be absurd to worship or venerate an angel. Against this counter, listen, we live in a cancel culture, and they're trying to cancel everything about God. Oh, that's right. They're trying to take away our Bibles. They're trying to take away our places of worship. They're trying to take away are 501c3. They're trying to do everything to thwart the plan of God. But I'm here to let you know, hallelujah, that if God is for us, who can be against us? God is with us. Can I get an amen? God will strengthen you. God will lift you. God will build you up. God will strengthen you in your time of weakness. That's right. Even in your time of affliction, God will heal your body. Hallelujah. For such a time as this. Why? Because God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. For we serve a mighty God. He is worthy to be praised. Somebody got to give God a shout of praise and glory because He is worthy. Worthy to be praised. Can I get an amen in the house? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Oh, we serve a mighty God. Hallelujah. Look what it says here in Ephesians 1, 18 through 22. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe? According to the working of His what? Mighty power. Mighty power. Hallelujah. So saints, in closing, we all know, hallelujah, that Jesus is about to return. And God is preparing, hallelujah, His saints to be ready. Why? Because I said this several times now. It's not about the timeline. It's about the sign line. Oh, that's right. Look at the signs. Can I get an amen? We are now in the book of Matthew chapter 24. And everything that Jesus said that we would see right before His return is now all converging at one time. Never before in the history of the world had we ever seen all these things that are mentioned in Matthew 24. It is here upon us. That lets us know it is soon and very soon. We are going to see the King. God's going to come and take out His church. Hallelujah. And take us away to be with Him. He's going to hide us in His pavilion. And then God's going to have to pour out the wrath on this earth. This is why this is a heart cry right now to those who may be logged in, to those who would catch this down the road sometime later on in life, that they will stumble on this message and God will give them an opportunity to repent. That's right. And be baptized in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 39. And Jesus is coming. He's coming soon and very soon. That's right. Oh, that's right. And we're going to be snatched away. We're going to be snatched away. Why? Because the dead in Christ shall rise first. Oh, I got some scripture for that. Let's look at this right now. Let's look at this. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. Praise God. Look at this. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself, say that with me at home, for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Look at this. Then we who are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, frighten one another. No. Comfort one another with these words. Praise God. Praise God. But you know what, my friends? The greatest thing that's going to take place when this event takes place is we're going to be changed in the moment and the twinkling of an eye. Oh, that's right. You see, these bodies of flesh that live only a certain point and then they have to go back to the dust. God is going to give us a brand new body that will live forever with Him. I can't wait. How many can't wait for that body? Oh, that's right. I can't wait. And it's going to happen just like this. Look at this. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, say that with me at home. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. Look at this. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Praise God. Praise God. It's all going to happen. It's all going to happen. Let me just say this, my friends. If you are a true child of God, which I believe all of you are that are logged in, and if you're not, we'll give you an opportunity to receive Christ. But if you believe everything that is written from Genesis to Revelation, you must believe we're getting that new body, or it would not be written. And God reiterates this throughout the scripture. But let me just say this. If you are not saved and you have not repented of your sins, don't let this next thing that you see happen to you. Let's go there.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come...
You know, every time I see that little video, it reminds me that God is gracious to those who would believe. You see, that was a depiction of the rapture of the church, when God would take home his true believers, those who have repented of their sins, those who have been washed in the blood, those who have been filled with his Holy Spirit of promise. They are now heaven bound and a hell to shun. And those people you saw that were just dazed and confused when everybody was gone are the ones that were playing church. Because God's coming for the real church. Now, here's the good news. If you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, do exactly what the scriptures have wonderfully laid out for those who would take heed, to those who would truly believe, to those who would cry out to God with a heart of repentance. Look, it's found right here in the book of Acts. Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, to all of who are far off, as many as the Lord God will call. Praise God. Praise God. How many so blessed? Huh? How many so blessed, my friends, to know that God is good? That God wants to save those who may be logged in and doesn't have a true relationship with the Lord. Maybe you're there with some friends that say, hey, let's listen to Pastor Fee tonight, Wednesday night. And maybe, just maybe, you haven't surrendered your life to God. I want to lead you into a sinner's prayer. The prayer, it doesn't save you. It's your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that'll save you. So if you're there listening, bow your heart and your head with me and allow me to pray this prayer with you. And it goes just like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner, and I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory. Hallelujah. Someone just got saved. Someone just gave their heart to Christ. Listen, if that's you, down below is our website. Hey, log on. Reach out to us. Our phone number, our email is on there. What we would love to do is be in contact with you, give you a Bible to grow, and point you and lead you to a church that teaches the unadulterated Word of God. And so, my friends, I also want to give a giant shout out to all those who continue to support our ministry. You know, at the end of August, we would have been there a whole year. And we're praying that God will continue to allow us to be at this beautiful facility in Bonita, California. And I'm trusting God that He will give us another year there. Can I get an amen? And so thank you for those who have donated to the ministry. Down below, you can log in, and donations are deeply appreciated. And so, my friends, it's time to sign off. I want to thank and praise God for this evening's Bible study. I want to thank and praise God for you all logging in. And allow me to send my benediction and so that we can be dismissed. And it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And so, my friends, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, we're signing off. We're saying good night. God bless you. We're looking forward to seeing you this Sunday morning at 10:30. We're going to have a beautiful, wonderful guest, musician, Melvin Patterson. The brother can play a saxophone. And we're going to have him there this Sunday at 10:30. And so we hope to see you all there. God bless you, and we'll see you Sunday morning. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.